to the New Vic and this introduction to the Nutcracker. I'm Mim Bernard. We will be describing the show on Saturday, December the 16th at 2:15, and again at the same time on Saturday, January the 20th. Each half of the performance lasts for approximately 45 minutes. There is one 20-minute interval. The times of the touch tours have yet to be confirmed, but we'll let you know and meet you in the foyer in front of box office a few minutes beforehand. This classic festive fairy tale has been adapted by New Vic director Teresa Heskins. It is accompanied by Tchaikovsky's ballet music, rearranged by James Atherton into a new soundtrack, with live musicians playing alongside. The Vic's adaptation builds on the original German fantasy story by E.T.A. Hoffmann called The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. Set in the late 19th century, this is a story about a girl called Marie who befriends a nutcracker that comes to life on Christmas Eve. Together, they embark on an adventure to the Kingdom of Sweets at the top of the Christmas tree to rescue the Sugar Plum Fairy. Set against a backdrop of conflict and displacement, and rooted in Tchaikovsky's own experiences of family, love, and loss, The Nutcracker has powerful contemporary resonances. At the same time, it celebrates life and renewal, and in the Vic's trademark style, is full of magic, fun, and Christmas sparkle. So sit back and enjoy this festive mixture of great storytelling, beautiful dancing and wonderful music. In case you haven't visited the New Vic before, I'll begin by telling you a little about the theatre and then about the set for this production. The auditorium. The New Vic is a theatre in the round with tiered seats in purple rising all around a flat circular stage which is approximately 10 metres in diameter, or 30 feet in old money. Three evenly spaced entrances lead up onto the stage. Two are used by actors and audiences, and the third, slightly larger main entrance, is used by actors alone. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two entrances are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we will name the 4 o'clock entrance the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance the left entrance. By the main entrance at 1 o'clock and by the left entrance at 9 o'clock, there is a section of acting space we call a notch. These are both panelled in wood for this production. Behind the audience seating is a circular pathway, known as the promenade. Five sets of aisle steps lead down from it to the stage. In the aisles, at the end of each row of seats, there are small handrails to assist ascent and descent. A balcony, edged with a safety barrier, is perched above the promenade. The aisles and promenade are used by both audiences and actors. Fixed high above the stage is a large lighting rig, complete with walkways, known as the grid. Props may be stowed or suspended here, as is needed in this show. For this production, the promenade is decorated with garlands of Christmas foliage. The safety barrier is decked with white fairy lights, and groups of red and white striped candy canes illuminate to indicate the entrance to the Kingdom of Sweets. Beneath the balcony, all the way round the auditorium, hang more Christmas decorations. Red, gold and silver baubles, candy canes and two glitter balls. Above the main entrance, a special platform has been constructed so that the five musicians can sit in a line and play. This minstrel's gallery echoes the Central European feel of the main set. Its back wall is half panelled in wood and papered above in a dark geometric floral print. Two round stained glass windows, echoing the pinwheel lollipops which appear later, are either side of a central doorway, concealed by heavy, dark green velvet drapes. Tapestry rugs cover the floor. In addition to the live music and orchestral soundtrack, there are sound and light effects. These include projections of revolving snowflakes, falling snow, and the rippling and lapping of the Lemonade Lake. Now to describe the main set. Entering the auditorium, it's as if we are walking through a fir tree, as the entire floor is covered in a digital vinyl print of spiky green branches, strewn with gold fairy lights. Imagine floating above it and looking down through the branches sparkling with snowflakes. Alternatively, you might be lying on the floor and looking up through the foliage at the star-spangled night sky. As the show opens, it is Christmas Eve. In the parlour of Uncle Drosselmeyer's house, Marie, her younger brother Fritz, and their mother Nastasia are putting the final touches to the Christmas tree. The tree is centre stage, is about 5 feet tall and decorated with candy canes, strings of white pom-poms, red bows and candles. It sits on a round table, covered in a floor-length green and red tablecloth. Where the green fabric reaches the floor, there is a circle of foliage dotted with red bows. Then, looking like a rug, three further concentric circles of crimson and gold fabric, each edged with red and white pom-poms. Under the tree, on the tabletop, are Christmas presents, wrapped in red paper and tied with gold bows. Two other round tables, also covered in floor-length green tablecloths and topped with traditional red and green fringed shawls, are positioned in front of each notch. Next to both tables is an occasional chair. They are made of dark wood with burgundy brocade seats. A china doll sits on the one to the left. Brass oil lamps and more red boxes tied with gold ribbon are placed on the tables, along with a bowl of gilded walnuts. Other props in this scene include Fritz's hobby horse and wooden sword, a tray with gingerbread soldiers, another tray with a silver and cut glass lemonade jug and matching tumblers, and Uncle Drosselmeyer's capacious carpet bag. Listen out for the items he extracts from this seemingly empty bag. As midnight approaches in scene two, a large mechanical owl clock stands like a grandfather clock at the main entrance. The front of it resembles Uncle Drosselmeyer, as it is covered in the same patterned material as his costume. Magically, everything begins to grow. The tree rises slowly, the concentric circles of red and gold fabric unfolding like a gigantic hooped skirt to reveal enormous baubles, colossal candles, and oversized red bows. Once unfurled, the spectacular Christmas tree hangs suspended from above as giant toys emerged from the now giant red boxes. In scene three, Marie and the Nutcracker set out on their adventure. Journeying around the promenade, they pass through a snowy forest of Christmas trees. Frost patterns creep across the ground. Snowflake projections revolve under their feet, and snow swirls around the auditorium and over the audience. At the start of the second half, in scene four, Marie and the Nutcracker find themselves at the edge of the Lemonade Lake. A water taxi appears from the main entrance, ferried by a gondolier with a long red and white candy-striped pole. The boat looks like Neapolitan ice cream. The seat is chocolate and the hull strawberry and vanilla, with fan-shaped ice cream wafers at the bow and stern. The deck is edged with hundreds and thousands, interspersed at the prow with ice cream cones. The stern is topped with a large swirl of whipped cream, crowned with a giant cherry and lit by a pink spherical lamp. The waterline is demarcated by gold sequined fabric to give the impression of lemonade waves. Scene 5 is set in the main square of Bonbonville, the capital of the Kingdom of Sweets. In the centre is a sherbet fountain in a circular honeycomb-edged pool. The top spouts real water and sits on a column made up of a red and white pinwheel lollipop, topped with three orange and white dolly mixtures, a sherbet lemon, and a black and white striped humbug. As the citizens of Bonbonville fill the square, Listen out for the appearance of an old-fashioned pram containing a red jelly baby. For a couple of dogs and for a 7-foot-tall, dark green and white striped pinwheel lollipop. 3 curved benches come planters are arranged around the fountain. Each is about 6 feet long, 15 inches high and 2 feet deep. Their central seats are marzipan, with backs and armrests made of candy canes and surrounds which look like honeycomb. Instead of flowers, they are sewn with delicious confectionery. The one in front of the right entrance is planted with cellophane-wrapped sweets in gold, emerald green, fuchsia and red. The second, in front of the left entrance, contains more candy canes, as well as circular sugar lollipops, some bright red, others green. The third, in front of the main entrance, is planted with love heart lollipops in pastel hues of pink, lemon and white. On them are messages of peace and unity in English and Ukrainian. The surfaces of all three are covered in hundreds of multicoloured licorice comfits. We next find Marie and the Nutcracker in prison in scene 6. The prison bars are simply conveyed by unfurling a series of parallel black ribbons from the grid down to the floor, diagonally in front of the right entrance. But the bars are not all they seem. Scene 7 sees us back in a devastated Bonbonville. In the main square, the benches have huge chunks out of them, are missing most of their sweets and are covered in mouse paw prints. The fountain has been toppled and cellophane wrappers litter the ground. Scene 8 is set in the throne room at the palace. Centre stage is a large, circular, tiered honeycomb throne, incorporating 3 evenly spaced seats, one pink, one lilac and one pale orange. Their padded backs are buttoned with ice gems and they open and close like petals. Above hang 6 ornate sweet chandeliers in shades of lilac, pink, lemon and peppermint. 3 suitors come bearing gifts. Golden goblets of hot chocolate topped with marshmallows. Ornate cut glass bottles containing honey, treacle and golden syrup. And a rejuvenating pyramid of mint imperials. In return, they receive trays of candied fruits. In this scene, Drosselmeyer also produces mouse traps from his carpet bag, while sabres and claw knives feature in the final encounter between the Nutcracker, Marie, and the Mouse Queen. In the closing scene, we are back in the Drosselmeyer household. In the parlour, it is Christmas Eve again, and everything is back to normal size. Or is it? That concludes the introduction to the set. But we must warn you that there may be times when it is difficult to hear our audio description above the music, but we'll do our best. I'll now pass over to Brenda Hennessy, who will tell you more about the many characters and costumes.
Mim mentioned conflict and displacement and love heart lollipops with messages in English and Ukrainian. The costume design for the family and musicians has a strong Central European influence, featuring full-sleeved blouses or shirts, gathered skirts, waistcoats with braid and embroidery embellishments, incorporating Christmas colours of red and green. As we take our seats, the 3 dedicated musicians and 2 actor musicians step into the minstrel's gallery. Each wears a full-sleeved white shirt with diamond-patterned collar, a green or brown waistcoat, brown trousers or skirt. The men wear patterned cravats. And now the family. The light brightens on Marie. She wears a white cotton gathered skirt that falls to just below the knee and white blouse with full sleeves. The skirt is appliqued with 3 evenly spaced rows of red braid. The blouse is trimmed with red braid and red buttons. A patterned braid sash neatens the waistband. A red waistcoat, an apron and red leather boots complete her outfit. Her long brown hair, plaited and tied with red ribbons, is pinned around her crown. Marie's younger brother Fritz charges in astride a hobby horse and brandishing a wooden sword. Fritz wears a teal, fine-striped woolen military-styled jacket trimmed with braid, a maroon cravat, brown breeches and long-striped woolen socks and brown boots. Fritz's dark hair is tucked into a black, shako-style military hat. Nastasia, Marie's mother, wears a bottle green velvet skirt, gathered at the waist that falls below the knee. A red-fitted hip-length waistcoat with embellished revers over a white blouse with bold embroidered flowers on the sleeves. Four evenly spaced ribbon-like braids fall from the skirt's waistband. Brown court shoes complete her outfit. Her dark brown curly hair secured in a bun at the nape. Thin red ribbon is woven into her hair. Uncle Drosselmeyer strides in wearing a long, multicoloured, diamond-patterned tapestry cape. When removed with a flourish, an elegant edge-to-edge coat is revealed. The coat is tailored from a larger diamond-patterned cloth. It's nipped in at the waist, a short decorative belt button at the back. The coat falls with a flare to mid-calf length. A single vent at the back allows movements. It's edged with a sumptuous red velvet trim. Beneath it, he wears a brown silk shirt, red cravat and waistcoat, and grey and black striped trousers and black laced boots. He has short brown hair, a moustache and a magnificent beard. And the magic begins. We meet the life-size Nutcracker, dressed in a traditional hussar uniform comprising a bright blue jacket decorated with silver braid, tasseled epaulettes and a neat silver belt. The sleeves are finished with deep white cuffs. His white trousers are tucked into tall black boots, a blue shako hat trimmed with silver braid and an ornamental badge. White gloves and silver sabre complete his outfit. His movements are robotic to resemble a mechanical toy. His eyebrows, nose, teeth and chin are hidden beneath a partial mask. Mouse Rink, the Mouse Queen, wears a multi-panelled black and gold textured coat that falls to mid-calf. Within the coat's long grey fur collar dangle pink mouse tails. It's worn over a grey shirt and a belted waistcoat and tight black velvet trousers. And of course, Mouse Rink has a long pink tail, furry at the base. She wears pink leather fingerless gloves, a gold crown studded with mice, and her black buckled boots, holster, claw, knives. The toys. Cast members, totally covered in realistic costumes, take the parts of toys that come to life, emerging from the giant-sized gift boxes. A honey-coloured, stiff-looking, friendly teddy bear with a blue necktie is the first to dance out. The bear is followed by three ginger men strutting in behind each other, their ginger-coloured rigid costumes decorated like white-piped icing, picking out facial features and imagined sleeve cuffs and trouser turn-ups. A china doll with a large ceramic head, dressed in a blue and white frock, steps out of another box, dancing on point. An old floppy rag doll with woolly plaits in a multicoloured Central European folk costume, braids dangling from it, joins them along with a clockwork monkey, clashing cymbals attached to its hands, and a tall, colourful wooden Matryoshka doll. Three tin soldiers, wearing red and black uniforms, lying in a box, roll out one by one. A clown jack-in-the-box pops up as a huge key is turned on his box. Snowflakes. In a snowy forest scene, six of the company dressed in white dance as swirling snowflakes. Four females wear knee-length, soft romantic tutus covered in sparkling embroidery, white headbands and net ruffles around their wrists and upper arms. Two dance on point. The two male dancers wear white breeches, embellished waistcoats, over full-sleeved shirts, shimmering makeup and icicle crowns. Uncle Drosselmeyer appears at the start of this scene and he has a pale version of his cape. Briefly, We meet the ferryman or gondolier. He wears a short diamond-patterned cloak over a brown silk shirt and waistcoat, grey and black striped trousers, and he sports a boater. In the kingdom of sweets, the costume colour palette changes. We meet the citizens of Bonbonville, all dressed in a feast of finery, inspired by flavours and colours of confectionery. Imagine rhubarb and custard, barley sugar, candy canes, lemon meringue pies, chocolate lines, jam tarts, Turkish delight, sugared almonds and much, much more, all transformed into a delicious costumes for our ensemble cast. Here's a taste of them. A barley sugar outfit, a stiffened gold brocade and orange satin swags swirl over an orange and gold skirt. Flounces of orange tulle wrap around her arms. She wears orange and gold hooped stockings and fancy orange shoes. Her hair, a twirl of orange cellophane ringlets. A jam tart outfit, a pastry-coloured bodice and tutu-style skirt. The skirt layered with swags of jam-coloured tulle. The skirt's stiff hem suggests a crust, crimped like pastry, worn over red pantaloons. And the lemon meringue mare wears a lemon curd-coloured silk bodice and a lemon and cream lattice-patterned bell-shaped skirt. Layers of yellow tulle swirl around her shoulders. A white tulle meringue of a hat is worn with a slice of lemon on top. The glassy cherry guards wear knee-length white satin coats. Silver and white and red frogging decorate the fronts. Red cherry bobbed epaulets, the shoulders, and red and white stripes on the sleeves. They wear white trousers and black boots. Each wear close-fitting bright red skull caps with a head-sized bright red glacé cherry atop. King Constantine wears a full-length lilac purple and gold heavily patterned brocade robe and an iced gem hat. Queen Clementina wears a full-length orange and gold brocade robe trimmed with braid. Citrus segments are sewn into the braid and more citrus segments shape her crown. Princess Sugarplum wears a baby pink pancake tutu overlaid with a darker pink floral sequined lacework, and this lacework decorates the bodice and one shoulder strap. Ruffles of pink tulle cover her arms. She wears a plum and cherry blossom crown, a mask folded away into the crown, and pink tights and ballet shoes. Her light brown hair is swept back into a neat bun. Her three mouth-watering suitors are the Chocolate Prince. He wears rich chocolate brown, velvet-flowing, full-skirted coat trimmed with orange brocade over tan and brown tartan trousers, all topped with a delicious tall velvet beribboned hat piled up with chocolates. The Honey Envoy wears a honey and treacle-coloured short cape over a gold satin blouse and corset, matched with honey-coloured flared trousers, and sports a small velvet honey-dripping hat. And the Archduke, from the land of after-dinner mints, stumbles in, doubled over, wearing bottle green, full satin trousers, and skirted velvet coat trimmed with mint green and white chevron braid. His green velvet hat is decorated with mint imperials, and peppermint-coloured shoes. His white blonde hair, streaked green at the front. A lady-in-waiting offers the suitors candied fruit. She wears a white blouse with humbug-striped skater skirt and brown tights. And now listen on for the credits. The cast. Marie is played by Frankie Attard. Drosselmeyer by Peter Watts. Nastasia and Queen Clementina by Kate Spencer. And King Constantine and Father by Matthew Ganley. Abigail Middleton plays Fritz, Honey Envoy, Snowflake and Gingerbread. Edwin Cheng is the Nutcracker, Maeve Nolan the Sugar Plum Fairy and Snowflake, and Caitlin Howard the Mouse Queen. Clara Darcy plays Gingerbread, Lemon Meringue Mare and Snowflake. Austin Garrett Teddy, Snowflake and Archduke, Amy Louise Harrison, Ragdoll and Snowflake, and Adam Scotland, Glacé Cherry Guard, Snowflake, Chocolate Prince and Gingerbread. All other parts are played by members of the ensemble. And Estelle May and Rhys Bailey Davis are swing cover. The musicians are Layla Marshall, flute and piccolo, Benjamin Pinto, clarinet and bass, clarinet, and Faz Jarre, show musical director and violinist. Now the creative team. Teresa Heskins, adapter and director, James Atherton, music adapter and musical director, Beverly Norris Edmonds, movement director and choreographer, Laura Wilstead, set designer, Liz Evans, costume designer, Danielle Beattie, lighting and projection designer, Alex Day, sound designer, Polly Wayne is the assistant director. A large team of others contribute to this production, including a fight director, production manager, stage management team and performance staff. Set and props are made by the New Vic Workshop, costumes by the New Vic Costume Department, lighting and sound operated by the New Vic Technical Team. We look forward to welcoming you to this magical show.